Yo, I put it like wow, this that sound. These oaks don't work hard like me, I hope they know by now. Bayo Bear, stand my ground. Throw these money trees, go overseas like Percy Tau. I make sure you stay around, quiet when I'm under loud. No negatives allowed, me positivity took a vow. I always play to win, don't anticipate loss. Mind always in the cloud, my boy, never think about the drop. Never ever ever think about the drop.
Welcome to Sports Fans. It is the MKT show. We're back. Day two to be back in George, the Mutt. It's cracking down here. It's like living in a different country. It is as good as it gets. It's what they call good living. What's coming up on the show today? Arsenal fans, did you just have another season? Tears at the Emirates. Are they overrated? Is Mikel Arteta the most overhyped manager in the history of football? Or is he just unlucky? Has he just run into a dynasty in Man City? We'll talk about that. Jurgen Klopp, his legacy, he leaves. People are crying. It's tears at Liverpool. It's one Premier League title. Is that overblown? What is his legacy? What's his story? Four in a row in Manchester. My goodness, they're good. It's Pep Guardiola, it's the money from the UAE, it is unstoppable. 6-7, 4 in a row. How good are these guys? Let's talk about that. And I told you, I've got a Sangoma with us. And I told you, he's a bit of a private school kid as well. So he's more of a Sangoma, you know what I mean? There's a Sangoma and there's a Sangoma. Sport Sangoma, a guy who loves sport, breathes sport, and just a hell of a character. Great to have him with us, Sanele Shabalala, the Sports Sangoma. How are you, buddy?
Good, you, bud. Good to join you.
Yeah, good to have you. Good to have you. Nice hat. You've got the Sunday red. You're looking good. You're looking good.
Yeah, it's not quite Tiger red. I'm glad you didn't say that. It's obviously Arsenal red.
Well, we'll talk about Arsenal. Tiger, speaking of Tiger Woods, just before we go, is... How terrible is that logo, by the way? How terrible is the logo that he has for Tiger Air?
Yeah, champ, it's questionable. Someone got paid a lot of money for an average job.
Yeah,
to say the least. There's a lot of other things we could have gone with there. You know, there's the infamous fist bump that would have done would have been good enough. Would have done justice to a Tiger logo instead of... Yeah, those stripes.
No, listen, I hear you. We'll chop that up in a little bit more. Sanele, good to have you with us. So Sanele is going to be with us through the week. He is a betting guru, better known as the Sports Sangoma. So he invests a lot of time into making sure he understands the odds, why they are the way they are. And we're going to be picking winners throughout the week, give you some hot takes as we got Roland Garros and much more rolling out. That is coming up on the MKT show. As I do every Monday, I tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. If it's your first time watching the show, welcome. We are in George, the Mutt, proudly brought to you by UTMB. Hour two will have a guest. We'll have a magnificent woman who is doing incredible things in sports science, Robertson. She'll join us for hour two throughout the week. Up until Friday, we'll have special guests. One of my favorites, Bianca Tarbotton, one of South Africa's leading trail runners. She is at one of the premier races in the world right now, out in Spain at Zagama. So that's big. She'll join us in hour two. Em Robertson will be with us and we'll have special guests throughout the week. But for now, I'm going to tell you where I was right, where I was wrong. I do this every single Monday. What does that mean? What is it to sort of be right and be wrong? People have accused me, believe it or not, of being arrogant enough for two people, which I found very, very offensive, you know? And... on the other side is I'm humble enough to say when I'm wrong. Not only am I going to tell you when I'm right, but I'll also tell you where I'm wrong. So every single week I go where MKT was right, where MKT was wrong. I make big calls. I'm going to make big shouts, eh? I'm not scared. I'm not shy, this guy. So let's get into it. Where MKT was right, where MKT was wrong. All right, let's get into it. Where I was right, Arsenal are not good enough. They're good. They're not good enough. I don't want to hear any excuses about running into a dynasty. When Mourinho came, he dethroned Fergie. What you have to be telling me as an Arsenal fan is that Alex Ferguson is not Pep Guardiola, and that's a different conversation to argue with your uncle blood. Arteta, are you good enough or are you not? I was dead right. I said Arsenal are good. They're not good enough. Where I was wrong, Erling Haaland. 2 seasons in the Premier League, 2 times he's won the Gold Boot. Are you kidding? Who is this guy? Who is this freak from the Norwegian region of the world? Unbelievable. Listen, he's unstoppable. He's the real deal. I don't get the Kylian Mbappe talk. This is the best player in world football. Stop telling me Kylian Mbappe is generational. This is generational performance. The better you are, the higher up the field you play, and he's the best in the world at doing the most difficult thing. Where I was right, Usyk beats Fury. I told you. Listen, he's the best in the world. He's the best in the world. He's the best heavyweight. He's unbeatable. He's, you know what he is? He's the complete boxer, and he's just as tough as the heavyweight. Remember, he went from cruiserweight all the way up to heavyweight. This man is the dominant figure right now. Usyk, the best there is, the best there was, and I don't want to say the best there ever will be, but he's certainly in the top 20 heavyweights of all time. He's the most dominant of his time. He is the Lennox Lewis of his time. I was dead right. I don't like Tyson Fury. Not serious. He's not serious about the game. Nice guy. He's funny, but I'm not buying it. Where I was wrong, Chelsea came sixth. I thought it would be a disaster. I thought they'd do well to come 10th. Pochettino's turned it around. Injuries have recovered. Chelsea finishing sixth. Not great. We shouldn't celebrate mediocrity. We shouldn't make it normal. It is what it is. What do the kids say? C'est la vie. But I was wrong. Chelsea finished strong. They are in Europe. They'll take it. Man United need to lose in the Premier League, in the FA Cup final. That puts them in the Europa League. Lastly, where I was right. 4 in a row, Man City. I said they'd do it. They are unstoppable. Pep Guardiola is the dominant manager in England in this generation. I don't think he's the best manager. I don't even think he's the second best manager to ever manage in England. But he's certainly the dominant guy. He's that guy right now. Man City are the best run football club in the world. You get the best administration. You get the best coach. You get the most money. This is what you get. You get results. And I'll finish off on this. Where I was wrong. I thought Man United were the sixth best club in England. They're not. They're the eighth best club in England. They are at the worst period in their history. What a bunch of jokers, these guys. Marcus Rashford, what are you doing? Bruno Fernandes, what are you doing? And listen, I'll tell you this. It's been coming. Don't be naive. This has been coming. Do not blame Erik ten Hag. This has been coming. Those who don't support Manchester United say Glazers in. Those who wear the red and white scarves and some of the Norwich scarves say Glazers out. I was wrong. They're not the sixth worst. They are the eighth. They are number eight. Hysterical. Man United. That is where MKT was right. That is where MKT was wrong. Bugger, do you have anything to say about any of my takes there?
Yeah, quite interesting. Clearly, you punting your side to have done better, but you know, the same thing, the same way you feel about Man United, I can say about Chelsea, mate. Well done on sixth place. As for Arteta, Chom, I think you got to slow your roll there. We all know, by one or two results, by one or two players, if we had a 20 to 30 goal type striker in the box, just tapping it in off De Bruyne's worldly play, it would be a different season altogether. But yeah, we slipped up, but we know where we slipped up. Villa was where we lost the season, essentially. We kind of kept a bit of hope. Sun didn't quite do it for us a week ago on Tuesday against City when he missed that absolute sitter. But yeah, look, as a Gunner, I'll tell you that we're quite happy. At least we're starting to believe in our team once again. We've got some good young players there. Hopefully we can kind of get some more backup because we're having guys playing some long minutes over many, many games. And if you're playing in Europe and playing in the Premier League at such a high tempo, that's it makes it rather tough to kind of have those boys play all the way through the season without a backup. You know, if you look at a Man City, for instance, I think their second string side would probably beat Chelsea in the league.
Listen, it sounds like you're blaming Man City for having Erling Haaland. So you're blaming a company for being run well and getting the best people for their business. It does sound a bit like Arsenal are doing that. Unless I'm mishearing you, what are you saying about Erling Haaland and you not having a tap-in striker at Arsenal?
No. I'm not blaming Haaland. I think Haaland is brilliant. I think you not overrating him, but he does what he's paid to do, and he does it bloody well. But something for nothing, half of his goals, surely if not a third, half of his goals are because of the genius that Kevin De Bruyne is. Kudos to Man City, four in a row. It's unheard of. They're going to go for another trophy this weekend, which surely they should get, depending if they get over their hangovers and so on. Some of the images I've seen out there over the last 24 hours, it seems like they've had a bloody good time. And they definitely deserve it. Pep deserves it. Cheapers, it's going to be hard to dethrone them. You know, they seem to be getting stronger and stronger every season. And the one coach amongst two that can possibly kind of tipple them is obviously has left the mighty Anfield, and they will surely miss or Klopp at the Anfield. He was
he was
brilliant.
I want to come to that, but I know something close to your heart. So people must understand a lot of the bitterness that you're hearing from the Sports Sangoma now about Man City is because he lives and breathes the Arsenal. And I wanted to start off with this, bro. Because, you know, sometimes when you're the underdog and you're not that guy, as they say, you know, in the youth are using the youth thing, they say that guy. Arteta wasn't that guy, and it took him 2 or 3 years to get rid of the rotten apples, right? And he's now sort of building something there at Arsenal, some people might say. So I'd like to know what you think about his legacy and the season from. Do you judge Arteta for this season harshly, or do you think as an Arsenal fan that we're on the right track?
I think we're definitely on the right track, no doubt about it. We had a slip-up last season, but if you compare the two seasons, last season and this season, we just looked a different beast. I think I heard one of the City players kind of have a quirk about a mentality that maybe we're lacking in compared to them. I think it's a bit of that and a bit of depth, of course, but... Arteta has to win the league in the next two seasons.
Wow. Wait, if he doesn't win it, then what?
Yeah, then I would say possibly he's underachieved. But if it comes with the Champions League, that'd be a toss-up because you got to think, I often got asked the question before we got knocked out, obviously, out of Europe, was which one would you rather take? Which one would you rather have? One that you never had versus one that you haven't had in... 20 years.
I got you. So, okay. You've raised a good point.
The
there.
League over Champions League.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you. So wait, hold on. I want that to be clear. I want this on record from the Sports Sangoma himself. If wishes were horses or horses were wishes, however the saying goes, if I offered you the Premier League, right, which you haven't won now in 21 years, or the Champions League, which you've never won before as an Arsenal fan, which one would you take? I want to hear it from you. Make a call.
Hands down, Premier League.
Okay, so Prem, eh? That's the one you want to win.
Yeah.
All right.
That's more important than Champions League.
I'd love to...
Obviously, Champions League has its place.
Yeah.
But there's just something a bit more about that English Premier League title that for a Gunner from, you know, from our old Highbury days now to the Emirates, you know, we need to get a trophy in that cabinet at Emirates Stadium.
Okay, I'm going to ask you lastly, out of 10... Tell me this Arsenal season. I want you to rate it out of 10 and tell the Arsenal fans why.
Oh, Arsenal this season out of 10. Yeah, I'd give it probably a 7.5.
Okay.
7.5, maybe an 8. Yeah, maybe an 8 at best. I just think there were certain times and you can almost feel them in a season where like, you need that little extra and you have to get it right. The Villa loss was a shambles. That's where we lost the season. And the fact that we played and we're happy with the draw against City was also somewhere where you could tell maybe mentally we don't have the edge on these guys. You know, the fact that they knew they could go away, go home with 1 point, but they knew they would rack up the last six was very telling in terms of the players' mentality. You know, we definitely should have looked for a victory there, but what would have saved us earlier and even better was just to to win against Villa.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And he lost to Unai Emery too, funny enough. That's what makes it quite hilarious. And then we're
good evening.
We were trying to rely on Tottenham Hotspurs, our our mortal enemies, to kind of do us a favour.
Yeah.
I got a question, that handshake between Pep and Son afterwards. They were having a good laugh after he missed that shot.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry for another day.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's move on. I mean, now you're whinging about other people. This is the thing, right? It's almost like saying, you know, sometimes people, when a partner cheats on them, people always blame their wives. It's like, what didn't you do? Like, maybe she's cheating because you're a terrible husband. You basically doing that, saying, Arsenal expect Tottenham to go do them a favor. Like, do what you got to do, brother. And then you don't have to make excuses. Be Man City. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you feel me, player?
Yeah. No, I hear you, dog. Look, we should have beat Villa. We should have beat City. And that's it.
No, well said.
There's no use relying on Tottenham or West Ham on the final day. That's quite wishful thinking. I think I probably got more chances of that happening than, I'd rather keep that to myself.
Listen, if the answer to the question is Tottenham, you're asking a terrible question. So already you are on the wrong track. Let's move to another red team that are undergoing some changes. Jurgen Klopp leaves Liverpool. And there's been lots of talk here about this guy. Listen, I want to give my take on Klopp. I think he's very, very good. I think one of the things that I've always said about football clubs is they're unique. Jurgen Klopp's unique side in football is that before the football, he's obviously a genius coach, he connected with the city. And I always said he's always felt like the rebel, right? And Liverpool as a city always has a gripe and always feels like the third city in the United Kingdom, right? So it's always London, it's always Manchester. And then we know there's a Manchester-Liverpool divide. But Jurgen Klopp is like working class and always the underdog. You know, Borussia Dortmund, he wasn't the Munich manager. He was always the guy standing up for the little guy. And Liverpool feel like that. And, you know, a single Premier League, a Champions League, a Club World Cup, Super Cup, an FA Cup, a Community Shield, which shouldn't count, and two Carabao Cups. I don't think generational. Again, I'm not going to grade on a curve. I think very, very good. And I don't think just because he's such a cool guy that he feels like he can go for a beer with him, I'm going to give him a break. I think people are doing too much with Jurgen Klopp. I think he's been very good. I don't know about all this generational talk and needing to have a send-off like his Mother Teresa. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I think he's a very good manager. I don't think he's Bill Shankly.
Yeah, funny enough, yeah, good call on that. I tend to agree. I think he's monumental to the city, to the team. He kind of got the city and the team on his side. He had a style of play. He has got a certain chutzpah about him that's quite endearing and people love. So I think if anything, that one title in 30 years will kind of blind a Liverpool supporter into saying he's one of the best ever. So I kind of tend to agree with you, but maybe slightly underachieved for that kind of noise that they're making for him. He's definitely no Alex Ferguson. And definitely no Arsene Wenger.
Should Klopp get a statue?
Whoa. I haven't been to the Anfield, so I'm not sure what statues they have there. I think he can maybe get a stand on the north or something, but I'm not sure about a statue. That's a big call.
Yeah, it is a big call. It is a big call. No, listen, hell of a legacy, and I think he's been incredible. And you know, who am I to speak for Liverpool fans? But I certainly don't put him in the top four, certainly in Premier League history. But listen, they are what they are, and you saw the send off was pretty special. So shout out to Jurgen, and he's poured everything, and he's been a great character for my favorite TV show called English Premier League. So shout out to Jurgen. I want to finish off on this. Your thoughts?
Quick one before you go.
Go ahead.
Where do you rate? How do you compare him and Mourinho, for instance?
No, he's not in that. No, it's a disgusting. It's disgusting to me that people would even dare raise his name in the same breath as Mourinho. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Mourinho's three Premier League titles in. He's got the greatest defense. Jose Mourinho coached the team, right? I don't think people are aware of this. Jose Mourinho coached a team to conceding 15 goals in a whole Premier League season. Are you? That may never happen in football again in any league. Like any league in the world may never concede 15 goals. I don't even care if you play 30 games a season. To do that in peak Ferguson times, peak Wenger times, no. It disgusts me that people would dare discuss in the Premier League context, in fact, in any context, to put Jurgen Klopp in the same conversation as Jose Mourinho is absolutely revolting. What are you talking about? Nah, no.
I must bring you to KwaZulu Natal, and I'll take you to a favorite little drinking hall of mine, and we can continue this debate amongst some Skulls supporters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, let's move on. And I'd love to hear what people at home have to say. Where do you put Jurgen Klopp? Is he the greatest Liverpool manager of the modern age? Doug Leash, you know, Shankly. Where do you put these names? Shankly has gates, literally, at Anfield named after him. Where does Jurgen Klopp fit? And I'd love to hear from Liverpool fans. Hit us up at the MKT Show on social media. Should Jurgen Klopp get a statue at Anfield? For me, a big, big question. Finish off on this bugger before we go to a break. Four in a row. I think my opinion on Man City is they're brilliant. But because they aren't one of the real clubs, they're not a real club for me, it hasn't elicited much emotion. So I'm really not going to get into it. I don't really see what, you know, Pep Guardiola's been sensational. But nobody's upset about Man City because I don't think they're one of the real clubs. Your thoughts on this incredible achievement? I don't want to underplay it, but I don't know what it is about Man City that no one really cares.
Yeah, look, it's a mad achievement. Four in a row. The guys are cleaning up season in, season out. It's almost like a procession now, and we're all kind of fighting for second, third, and fourth, fighting for Champions League. It's going to be hard to bridge the gap, but I do think Arsenal will do it next season.
Whoa! You know, you went too far. You well, humbug, Arsenal. No, I'm not going to let you get away with that. Arsenal are going to do what next season? Answer that. Arsenal are going to do what?
I think Arsenal will win the league next season.
All right, let's go to a break. Cut him off. Cut this guy off. We'll be with him after the break.
Anyway.
Listen. I need to breathe. Hold on. I'm not going to let you keep talking after you said Arsenal are going to win the league next season. We're going to go to a break because I need to just bring Umoyawam downer. I need to just control my heart rate. After you said that, you know the youngsters say you've triggered me. I'm triggered. We need a break. I can't actually deal with what this guy has just said. Arsenal are going to win the Premier League. Love to hear from you at home. Stick it in the comments. Is the sports song or more into something? Can Amadlozi speak to him truly to say Arsenal are going to win the league next season? I think he's crazy. I actually need a break. I'm too triggered. You know what they call the show? It's the MKT Show. We'll see you in a bit. MKT Show, we back at it. Matt, proudly brought to you by UTMB. We are down here. We with the guys. You just saw that video. You just saw, by the way, is listen. Some people, especially in our community, won't realize 45 races around the world, at some of the most beautiful places that exist on the planet. Mountain running is the wave. 100 milers, 100 k's. We'll have a guest, Bianca Tarbotten. She's doing her thing all week long. She is now at one of the greatest races in the world, Zagama, famously known for those cowbells as you come up that steep, steep hill and those supporters going crazy. She's flying the flag high in Europe at the moment. More on that in a little bit. For now, as I say, Kaya, let's bring it home. I told you, the guy's more of a Sangoma. I know people will say, oh, he's Sangoma. No, he's a Sangoma. He went to one of those really polished schools in the Midlands. But he's still a Zulu guy at heart, and he's famously known. So follow him as Sports Sangoma. If you are looking for the greatest picks, the winners, this is the guy you got to listen to. He does it for a living. He lives it. He breathes it. We're going to introduce a little segment. I know this isn't really a segment show, but when him and I were chatting, I thought we need something to make sure that... what do the youth say? You know, on the streets, we say, let them know. You got to flex on them. So I thought, okay, how's this going to work? The Sangoma 6. You know, you got to... Sometimes we do what? Like a pick six, right? Some people do a pick six or whatever it's called, is where you make your picks. And so what we're going to do is we're going to tease some winners, see what we're coming up. He's got a couple of things that he's been thinking about mulling over. I don't know what his process is, but he's going to talk us through it. Sports Sangoma, here we go. It is the Sangoma 6. What you got for us there, Bagger? Oh my goodness, no.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Wait a minute. Wait, for those on the podcast, he has got on, what do we call, listen, I call it that Zulu hat. What do you actually call that?
Umqhele. Yeah, but umqhele.
Absolutely.
Worn by Zulu men in their homesteads, and a very, very popular fashion item these days around the world.
No, I got you. All right, Bugger, what do you what you got for us there? Because I think, listen, I think there's some tasty picks, right? There's Roland Garros coming up. I'm not sure what the Sangam has picked. I told him I don't really want to know. I kind of want to be as surprised as the listeners when they come and listen. What you got for us there, Bugger? What sort of picks you got for us? Where are we starting?
Yeah, look, I'm glad the football talk is over with. We can kind of catch a rest from that. We've got some nice, obviously, clay court tennis coming up. We've got a European rugby final coming up. We've got, obviously, the NBA playoffs, which starts imminently in less than 24 hours. And, yeah, obviously, we've got the women's draw and the men's draw in the French Open. A lot of controversy iffiness about who will actually take to the court when the tournament starts for the men's draw. A lot of the top players, a lot of the legends, obviously not looking their finest at the moment. Rafa on his way out at Swan Song. Joko took one to the head about a week ago.
Oh, what a drama queen, that guy. Well, what a drama queen. It was a plastic bottle on his head. Like, so did he make like a big thing of it?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw it. I was actually watching that live. He was kind of signing a hat or something and the bottle dropped on him and I think he stumbled a bit and then dropped to his knees. So it was quite dramatic, the whole thing. And after he got cleared with the head scan or whatever, he did bring it up in his presser, which surprised me because he doesn't come across as the kind of guy that has any excuses or anything. But I think he kind of feels it, that he's probably undercooked coming into this major. But yeah, look. It's Djokovic. You can never write him off. I think he's definitely got a better chance than going all the way than Rafa Nadal.
So you think, I mean, at the moment, I know you haven't made your picks yet. I think we'll give guys some winners on Thursday, maybe Friday, as things get closer to starting cooking next week. Give me a man and a woman that you think is tasty at the moment. What sort of odds we got for some of the tasty ones at Roland Garros? So what are you looking at? What's whetting your appetite at the moment?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the women's draw. I think quite a good bet, and it's not my style of betting, but I think she's quite a shoe-in, and the price isn't terrible, but she is definitely quite a strong favorite, would be Iga Swiatek at 8 to 10. You know, for every 10 Rand, you get 8 Rand back. I think she's a great shout. It's nice and early if you couple her with maybe something good over the next week. I think that could be a nice little double to get involved in. In terms of the WTA, the rest of them on the WTA draw, the only ones I can maybe see if things kind of work out for them along the way and one or two upsets, which is always possible in the women's game. Obviously, Sabalenka and Goff are the next two favorites to follow at 6-1 and 8-1 respectively. Rabakina at the same price at 8-1 as Coco Gauff, and then as outside, you know, you could have Danielle Collins from the US possibly, if things come right and one or two of the favorites get knocked out. But I wouldn't sway too far from Miss Iga Swiatek. She is the business, and at 8-10. You can, those with that have got some big bucks and big randellas, you can just go heavy on her. For some of us that are using a couple of pennies, you kind of want to couple that up maybe with the rugby game in Europe, maybe a Sharks or something like that. or maybe Celtics to go all the way or to win their conference at least.
Let's start on the Sharks quick. Listen, I like where you went there with the rugby. Before you move on, what are your thoughts on Plumtree? Because, you know, Umfanaza Tegwini, and by the way, yesterday, people thought I'd back off this opinion. I want to make it very clear, with you wearing your Zulu hat right now, is that I tell everyone, Zulus are the knockoff horses. I just want to get your take on that before we move on. By the way, I told people yesterday, Zulu is the knockoff of Xhosa. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that sounds like a typical Xhosa comment.
but with you being Umfanaza Tegwini, your thoughts on Plumtree? Guys at the Sharks aren't happy. I mean, what are your thoughts? Should they keep him before you give your thoughts on getting a tasty sort of odd? Should they keep him? What are your thoughts on Plumtree?
You look, he's been bloody disaster coming back. But that said, you know, Plum has given us a lot of his time over the years. On several occasions, coming back and forth. Now he's coming back, I think, for the second or third time. I do think, obviously, you know, we've got the players. There's just something that hasn't been gelling, but I think that'll all be forgiven should we win on Friday night.
All right.
Against Gloucester.
And, cool. And your thoughts on that?
That qualifies us, obviously, for the championship. And that's where everyone wants to play. You need to be what used to be the old Heineken Cup, the European Rugby Championship. We win on Friday and we're in amongst the big boys.
And so are you thinking of sprinkling a little money on that, or are you going to stay away?
Typically, traditionally, I don't kind of get involved in my own teams because betting with your heart, this is betting with your head, it's always a bit of a clusterfuck. But yeah, I think this weekend, because it's a final and it's so important to us and we need to get in, I definitely will take a young dabble there. I don't know if I will couple it with a shoe-in like Switek, but I'll definitely put it in one of my multiples for sure.
All right. No, listen, let's in broadcast industry, we call that a teaser. Come back on Thursday, come back on Friday, and then we will have the Sangoma's proper picks. Because at the moment, he's communicating with Amadlozi just to make sure that they're giving him the right winners. Talk to me. FA Cup, do they do it? What do you think? Are you going to sprinkle a little on Man City this weekend? Are you thinking about it? What are you thinking of betting? How do you bet football? I'd love to hear, because there's so many options.
Yeah, look, it's always nice. It's always the easier way to go, you know, 1x2 in the betting terms, which is whether you're choosing a winner either side or a draw. That's the simplest way of going about it. But I don't think that's where the value sits, you know. I think it'll be a sighted game at Wembley. It's a derby. It's traditional. It goes back, you know, many years. And Man City are, you know, piping hot at the moment. Man United on the opposite end, and even now you see a couple of players. I don't even know if they will have a full team for the weekend. But as I said, there's a young thing called the Barbie that a couple of the players will be wearing from City come the weekend. But it should be entertaining either way, and I would definitely look more into goal scorers or number of goals come first or second half, or over unders in the goal segment of 2.5 or 3.5. Depending on what the odds are. But as you said, I think I'll give you something a bit more accurate closer to kickoff.
All right, before we wrap up this intro to the segment, the Sangoma 6, look out for it. It'll be a constant feature on the show. What else you got for us? You got anything else tasty for us, or is that what Amadlozi have given you for now?
No, definitely you'll get someone, something rather fresh coming out of the ATP. I don't think either Alcaraz or Djokovic will take it. I think Sidney Zverev have a great chance of taking this major and should be gearing up quite good for that. And then as an all-round fan around the world, obviously NBA is kind of...
Is you're crying. Oh, yes. Sorry, I forget that you're crying, as the Oaks say in South Africa. You're crying tears because your Denver Nuggets got bounced, player.
Yeah, it did. I'm glad... Funny that you remember that out of everything we've spoke about. But yeah, they did get bounced game 7, unexpected, you know, Djokic out of the the running. His team is gone. The Nuggets are out unexpectedly. But that young man, old Anthony Edwards, he's got a bright future. He's next level stuff. And let's see, maybe his team, which are currently sitting at 7-2, 3.5-1, to take the NBA championship. Let's see if he can rise to the occasion and take down the current favorites in the Boston Celtics. But he is definitely the talk of the town, the talk of the city, the talk of the game, talk of the NBA at the moment. And it seems like even without getting the highest scoring player in that last game where they came back from 20 points down, he definitely is the engine room and the inspiration for that team. And I think they could go all the way, to be fair.
Yeah, he went and put Jamal Murray. I mean, listen, I watched a little bit of the second half this morning as I was having breakfast. He wasn't playing well. He wasn't scoring well. He wasn't getting his game going. But in the second half, he decided he's going to go put Jamal Murray in prison. And I don't mean prison like that criminal Scottie Scheffler. Obviously, he got arrested at the golf. That absolute criminal, that criminal mastermind. Unbelievable that some people go to jail. His mother must be ashamed. So I don't mean criminal like Scottie Scheffler. I meant he put him in jail, like locked up. I got you locked up. Shout out Akon, you know what I mean? Locked up, they won't let me out. So Anthony Edwards, he's an absolutely incredible beast. So take me, listen, as we wrap up, what are you thinking? You're going to sprinkle a little money on him, or you think the Mavericks will come through and do the right thing? Or you're gonna give it some thought?
Yeah, I'm gonna give it some thought, but I think I'll be backing the Timberwolves to go all the way before the Mavericks for sure.
So all the way in the Western Conference and to beat Boston in six.
Yeah, well, Boston must get there first.
Oh, all right. If you're an NBA fan, that's what it is. So Sports Sangoma, as I said, the Sangoma 6 will have this often. As you can hear, the man knows what he's talking about. For some of you, if you aren't in the betting world, he's talking about, you know, that's not where the value lies, just picking winners and losers. We'll keep sort of unfurling and taking you into his mind. And as you can see, maybe let's look at him one more time with his Zulu hat.
Yeah, also, before you cut me off, don't forget there's a young thing called the Indianapolis 500 and the Monaco Grand Prix coming up this weekend.
Is motorsport, listen, I know you'll bet on it. Motorsport is the most boring thing in the world. I don't know how people watch it. My dad took me to Monza when I was 11. In fact, when I think about it now, I get bored. And I'm living a pretty good life. I'm thinking of when I was 11, listening to cars, experiencing the Doppler effect. Snorfest. As a betting man, does it make it more exciting to watch the most boring sport in the world?
Look, I was once, I was once like you and wasn't a big fan, but I've, kind of learned to kind of appreciate the nuances of racing and motorsport.
Are you sophisticated now? Are you saying you're a sophisticated viewer, unlike me?
I don't know. I didn't say it. You said it. and when it comes to gambling, I'll gamble on anything. It's Olympic year. You'll probably find me gambling on curling in a couple of months' time.
Oh, listen, he lives it. He doesn't need to love the sport. He's at work. The man makes it a part of his job. He says, I'm here to do the things. I'm here to give you winners. And, you know, he's getting it from what the knockoff classes, which they call Zulus. They call it Amadlozi. The elders are speaking to him. Sports Sangoma, dude, I'm going to let you go. Have a fantastic day. And people can look out for more of him. He'll be on. He'll be with us tomorrow. He'll be us on Thursday. Be with us on Friday from the Mutt here in George. Sanele, Sports Sangoma, Shabalala. Brother, I appreciate you. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Peace out. Nice Zulu hat, ladies and gentlemen. The knockoff for Khosa, it's becoming a thing now. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like a pop song on the radio. If you play it enough times, people will start to believe it. So tell your friends. Tell your sister, tell your girlfriend, tell your wife. You don't have to have both, by the way. You can have a wife and a girlfriend. You can have a wife and a girlfriend. However you're setting up your life, tell those people in your life. Zulu is the knockoff of Xhosa, the MKT show. MKT show, welcome back. I am a Xhosa guy, which feels good. Because a lot of people ask me and they think, oh, you Xhosas are a bit much. Tough to be humble when you know you're the finest. That's what my uncle used to say. Tough to be humble when you know you're the final. Listen, actually, I have to admit something. One of the things that people have said to me is, you're the most humble person we've ever met. And I'm so humble, I say, no, I couldn't possibly accept that kind of praise. It's just, it's too much, because I'm so humble, you see. So that's just the life of being a closer man. That is just the life of being a closer man. I'm going to talk to somebody who's actually has achieved something. In fact, two people that have achieved something. We're going to have a co-host. I don't know in these times whether, how do you gender people? Because I was going to say co-hostess, but actually co-host, because we're fellow human beings. She's done her master's in exercise or sports science. I should have got that right. I'm not professional enough. I should have researched that and remembered it better. It's why I failed. It's why it took me 5 years to do a 3-year degree in university. M. Robertson of Trail Culture. M, how you doing?
Good. Very stoked to be here.
Co-host.
Co-host. Let's go with that.
Because I don't want to... What if I'd said co-hostess?
I would also be fine with that.
Okay. But that, would that be me, like, gendering you, though, and then othering you?
No. Well, I'm stoked to be co-hostess. The girls. Girl power and all that.
Girl power and all that. Dude, yeah. Dude, good to have you. You're going to be with us all week, hopefully, really when excited. It suits. You know, host of Trail Culture. We'll talk a little bit about your pod. Make sure the people get out there. You've just come to George. Love your energy. You give me very much an immaculate vibes vibe. But you're also a scientist. So tell people quickly, you're an educated person. You're not just some dum-dum.
Not just a dum-dum.
Yeah.
So I never would have thought. I wanted to take a gap life. University was not going to be for me.
Yeah.
Here we are in the pipeline to do a PhD. So I can't seem to stop.
Whoa, take us into it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. We're doing a PhD.
Well, not potentially. That's actually real.
No, we're doing it. We have to do it.
We're doing it, and we're looking at endurance sports,
okay.
Trail running,
wow.
Female performance, how yeah. Training load, monitoring should be different. Basically, how being a girl is awesome, but we need to know a bit more of the specifics.
On the performance side, you're really zoning in on female performance.
Yeah. So dialing into that, which every time I like feel like it's like the next step in the studies, I'm like, this is getting more and more specific. I don't know how I feel about that. It's like, I'm going to be really good at one like thing, but that's cool. And the trail running is just great. And so, yeah, that's me.
So I'm quite insecure about my intellectual being. So I always have to tell people what I've done academically.
Okay.
So I'm currently studying genetics, just so you know. But I studied chemistry. It took me five. No, it's not that epic. It took me 5 years to complete a 3-year degree. So I am a dumb master's. Forget it. PhD, forget it. Dude, that's awesome. We're going to talk more about that in the week, if you don't mind me asking
awesome,
stuff.
Awesome. Yeah. Keen.
Dumb-dumbs like me, we've got to get educated. That's an amazing thing. We're going to talk to someone else, though.
Yes.
And we've got someone on the line who she's doing her master's. Do you know she's a chemical engineer?
She is.
She's
next level.
Master's chemical engineer. That's what we're doing now. On the side of being one of the leading runners in South Africa and currently pushing on to the international stage, actually she's taking her running career to another level. She's currently at Zagama, for those who don't know, one of the races. Like there's a race and then it's a definite article, one of the races on the world tour. I consider her a friend. I don't know what she would call me, but she's becoming very quickly one of my heroes for everything she does. A scientist, of course, something that I endeavor to be one day. But she's also doing that. Her master's, but she is also one of the leading runners in the world. Somebody who I consider a friend. She'll tell you what she considers me. Bianca Tarbatton. Bianca, what's crack-a-lick?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I definitely consider you a friend.
Fantastic.
A very, very funny friend. You definitely add a lot to my life. So thanks for having me. I'm super happy to be here and to chat to you guys. Currently sitting in Spain, which feels crazy. I'm not at George, but very happy to be here as well.
Master's in chemical engineering. Hey, that's where we're headed.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm looking at green energy we're trying to produce.
Oh, yeah. That's immaculate vibes.
She's going to solve South Africa's green energy problems.
That, like,
I don't know about that. We're trying. Definitely a long process.
That is immaculate vibes. Now, both of you from the Eastern Cape. Well, you kind of...
Yeah, parents
you lived
are there.
You passed through.
Yeah.
But... And Bianca is actually from the Eastern Cape.
Yes.
Born and bred, slummies.
Exactly, from slummies.
Slum town, Bianca.
So listen, I was just saying, and you're not saying this, but I'm just running by you. Just tell the people, because obviously you're a big time athlete and people listen to you. We give great reverence and power to athletes. I was just telling people that Zulu is the knockoff Xhosa. Your thoughts as the Eastern Cape girl?
Zulu is a knockoff Xhosa?
Yeah.
I'd say I agree.
Yes. There we go. Let's end the show right there. I mean, we've heard all we need to. Listen, that view is incredible. Where, like, tell us where you are and please show us where you are. That view looks insane.
Yes. I will show you where I am and then I'll tell you where I am. So this is my view.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
That's not even real. It looks like a movie. Are you outside right now?
It's quite cold, so I'm not sure how I feel about being outside. Colder than I thought for the European summer. I was stoked to get out of Cape Town winter, but actually I've just come back into winter. So yeah, I'm in the Basque Country in Spain. It's on the border of France and Spain, so high north, which is why it's colder. Yeah, in a little town. I'm actually not staying in the Zagama town itself. I'm staying in a tiny little town, just 30 minutes outside of Zagama. And I arrived yesterday, here until next week, Monday. And my race is on Sunday.
Yeah, no, we'll be looking out. Look out there. You can track Bianca on somewhere on the socials, World Trail Series, whatever.
Yeah, Golden Trail Series.
Golden Trail Series, sorry. That's Golden Trail Series. Yeah, that's big time. She's big time. One thing I wanted to get to before we get going is when I met Bianca, I work in the scene, blah, 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 whatever. I'm irrelevant, but I get to meet these athletes, which is
big incredible. In the scene. What do you mean? No, you're the MC of MCs.
I am very good. Thank you. I live well. I am very good at what I do. Yeah, I am.
Stroke the ego a bit.
Yes. Too humble. People are saying too humble, too kind, too forgiving, too passionate. Those are my weaknesses.
I see through you.
Those are my weaknesses. But when I met her, Bianca, when I thought you were like immaculate vibes, like, Mercury's in retrograde kind of thing. And then the more I got to know her, because she's got such a sort of gentle personality when you meet her. But actually, then you see, oh, no, this is a beast as an athlete. And then she's a scientist as well. The more I got to know, it's like, no, it's not vibes immaculate. It's, I'm doing it. She's living in the real world at all times, doing great things. So I just thought I'd drop that little nugget in. Bianca, listen, what's been really cool is to kind of not only get to know you, but to share the journey. Obviously, I won't repeat what happened at Otter, but there was that incident at Otter and you were about to win and blah, blah, blah. Let's move past it. But to see your progression as an athlete from then to where you've taken it to now. So maybe just give us a slight insight. When did you start running and like, did you ever see yourself ending up where you are?
So I did running kind of competitively in primary school. I did track and field and cross country. I was never super competitive, but I was in like the provincial teams. And then kind of gave all of my sporting prospects up throughout high school. And so didn't do any running. And then kind of when I moved to Cape Town to start my undergrad 7 or 8 years ago now, I think it's 8 years ago actually, I picked up running again. Initially, I started with the UCT road running crew. And then actually when I met my current boyfriend, Rob, at the end of my first year, a few of his friends did trail running and they kind of introduced me to it. I was always in love with hiking and the mountains. I just didn't know that trail running as a sport existed. So I found out about this thing that combined mountains and running. And I was like, no way, this is what I'm going to do in my life. And then, yeah, it kind of just happened pretty naturally. I never expected to do running professionally. That was definitely not part of my plan. But I suppose just a combination of my love for the sport and, yeah, I suppose being kind of good at it has allowed me to get to this point. And so, yeah, I'd say I began professional running around 3 years ago when I joined the Adidas team. They opened a lot of doors for me and gave me the opportunities to come and race in Europe freely. And so, yeah, about 3 years I've been doing it professionally, but started about 8 years ago.
So because you're actually humble, unlike me, she's not kind of good at it. Listen, it's an ascending star, It's not to put pressure on people, but she is an ascending star. And Adidas aren't just going to come get some Oompa Loompa. They're not doing favors. This is not a tender premiere like South Africa where we cadre deployment. Like, are you that girl or are you not? So they saw that in you. And I mean, it's been amazing to share that journey with you. And I think it's just the beginning. Just seeing you doing what you're doing. I hope you realize that the world is your oyster. I want to ask you something.
For sure.
When you When you first started, I mean, that's a while ago, and when we sort of all got into trail running and it became a thing in South Africa, it was like, you know, the women's field, and Emma, I'd love to hear your take here. The women's field was almost, I said to some guys as we were chatting yesterday and earlier today, it's like, I remember thinking to myself, just in general sport, like, let's just tick the boxes because women are starting to get rights now and it's just, it's getting noisy for me as an egotistical man. We might as well tick the boxes and maybe they'll be quiet. And that was my kind of egotistical attitude, you know? And I don't want to try and be some guy as though I was with the times all the time. I wasn't. I was one of those people who'd go, ugh, women's sport. Okay, just let them do it and then we'll just go to the man's thing, you know? Like that was my attitude. But as we've been going and guys like yourself start to compete and it's like, oh, no, cool. These are elite athletes doing their thing, whether you like it or not. And even more so now we've seen, especially in the longer races, women are coming top 10 and that's not fixed, by the way. They are competing against the field. You know, part of the exciting thing about the new era, and I'm not sure if you're aware, but George actually is the only race in the UTMB World Series that has more women participating than men. And that is organic. I was talking to the race owner, Zane. He has not pushed anything. And in particular, this year, we are focusing, and his focus is on, there's a campaign called Shimut, where they're focusing on highlighting that. Your thoughts on where trail running as a woman was, where it is now, and do you have any thoughts on where it can go and things that can get better in the space, whether it be sponsorship, whether it be the racing, and how you feel as an elite female athlete representing, you know, a change in the times? As Bob Dylan once said that, by the way, the times, they're changing.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And I did know that statistic. Em actually told me about it last week when we chatted. And yeah, it's amazing. And I definitely did not expect that. And yeah, certainly from when I started to where we are today, the level of female athlete is, yeah, you just can't compare what it was 8 years ago versus where we are today. And that is super exciting. And I think, yeah, watching female races for me personally is just, it's incredible. And so to hear stuff like that makes me really happy. And I think there's a lot more to come, as you say. I think like we're seeing that the level of female competition is certainly as high. And like in many races now, actually, what I've noticed is that like the female field is way bigger than the male field, and the races are a lot more exciting. And so that makes me really happy. And I think it's going to keep growing. And yeah, certainly from a sponsorship point of view, I know that like Adidas, my sponsor, they put a lot of emphasis on making sure that the number of males and females in the team is the same. Actually, we've got, I think, a few more females than males in the team, and they're like very equal pay. So yeah, it's incredible, and I'm really, really happy to hear that.
Yeah, and you know, Em, I'd like your thoughts on this, but I was telling people yesterday, if there's more women participating than men, I don't understand why guys are whinging about not being able to find a wife. Just start trail running. So there's not only is there that positive, but you know they're going to be fit, driven, and they're also here.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Just a thought. I mean, I'm not saying everyone has to get married.
You don't, if you can go out and run together, you don't have to like check, you know, can I be away from home? It's like, let's just do it together.
If you can run together, you can stay together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a bit of a thing in Cape Town about the run clubs and meeting someone. Run clubs are the new Hinge.
Oh, wait, take me in. Take me in. Let's talk about it. Wait, are you saying like the running clubs are like becoming a little bit like, oh, I know Stacey and I know.
But it's exactly what you said now. Like, what, you know, where do I go to meet someone?
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, if she's in a running club, like she runs, she's fit, she probably drinks coffee.
Yes.
Like croissants are definitely on the cards. Bianca's Southeaster favorite.
Yes. You a coffee person? Sorry, I heard coffee there.
I am a coffee person. Yeah.
I take my own grinder and coffee everywhere I go.
Okay. I can be like a coffee person. Freak out about coffee. No, great.
No, you got standards. Love it. People say, oh, coffee snob. I'm like, in fact, wait, people might think I'm joking. Let's go to
he's
Bianca.
He's definitely not joking.
Bianca, did I not come and stay at your place and bring my own coffee? And I even made you coffee. And by the way, sorry, I'm just because you're on the show, I'm not going to be soft on you. Then Bianca was like, I think you maybe, I don't think it actually makes a difference that you warm your cup. And do you remember saying that, Bianca? Do you remember being a skeptic?
I do. I remember all of this.
So
I've had first-hand experience of the snob that is Mbulela.
No, wait, I'm glad you said that. Coffee snob. Let's come back to M. I'm not having that. got standards.
People
stop saying coffee snob. It's like, no, I know what the best is.
Yeah.
Why would I not have the... I'm closer, first and foremost. So I'm already the best. Why wouldn't I know what the best is? So, yeah. we're gonna hey, like, do you have your beans here?
I do. I should have worn my hat. I'm like so deep into this that I usually wear a hat of my favorite roastery in Stellenbosch.
Oh my goodness. All right, so we do.
Yeah, like it's deep. B, I think I was wearing it when I saw you last week. It's
really?
It's pretty intense.
So wait, you've got your beans here. I've got my grinder here, by the way.
You have to grind the fresh beans. And then I'm like in a beer lady like phase at the moment. Oh, market pot for those who want to call that.
I've got my plunger though.
We can work together.
Please,
we can have options.
People helping people. It's a wonderful story. Oh, this is a burgeoning friendship here.
Yeah.
No, listen, I thought we were just going to be professional colleagues. But I mean, if we're into coffee. Like,
great.
I mean, I'm not coming to Stellenbosch. It's a bit far. I live in Joburg. But maybe we can send each other videos or something.
Yeah. No, I'm keen. Let's do it.
Sorry, Bianca. I forgot you were here, by the way.
No, I love this. I'm definitely not that deep into coffee. But I appreciate coffee snobs as well.
No, you are not into coffee. I think you had normal coffee at your house, didn't you?
I don't have normal coffee. How dare you? I did not have chicory coffee. I bring my market pot with me to Europe. I'm on a level above there. I'm just not quite where you guys are.
Oh, sorry, Bianca. I mean, I didn't. Sorry, I thought. The thing is, if you don't have the real thing, I just presume you're drinking like chicory. You know what I mean? Might as well be reek coffee or whatever.
So nonsense. Judgmental.
No, standards. I'm not judgmental. The standard is this. My father always used to say, and listen, you're a real scientist. My dad's a chemical engineer as well. Not like, you know, so you guys could probably do smart people talking. The standard is the standard, Bianca. When you do your master's in chemical engineering, you don't go, oh, I did the second best thesis, so I'd like the best marks. You know that. So what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Like, Em, what are we actually talking about?
I'm just like, Bianca's like, performance and like how she goes into everything. You mentioned it earlier. Mm-hmm. She's like all in. So yeah. I'm like, B, I think you are actually all in for coffee. You just need to realize it.
In denial.
You know? Yeah. A little bit of denial, warming up to it.
I think, you know what my issue is? I think when I go all in, I go all in. So I think it would just take too much out of me to be invested in something like coffee. I've got so many other things I'm trying to be all in for. There's just, I don't have space for the coffee in my life. if I'm honest, that's probably exactly it.
It's one of those things trying to become a world-class runner. I mean, let's maybe talk a little bit about that. Are you tell us about where you are, what the mission is. You're in Zagama. Give us a little bit of background, what you're doing there, and maybe take us into your calendar for the year. That'll be an easy thing to do.
Yeah, so I suppose my goal with trail running is to be one of the best and be at the top someday. Who knows when that'll be. But this is my third year and I'm in Zagama. I'm basically doing the Golden Trail series this year. I've got Zagama on Sunday and then I'll stay in France for a month. And then I've got the next Golden Trail series race, which is Mont Blanc Marathon. And then I'll come home for just 2 weeks and then fly back and do the third Golden Trail series race, which is CSNL. Those are my three main races for the year. And then
where's that? For reference?
So Mont Blanc is in Chamonix, and then CSNL is in Sierre. It's very close to Chamonix. It's in the Switzerland part. Yes. Also, like, it's at the border of Switzerland and France, but super close. It's literally, like, the valley next door. Insane race. The level there, I'd say CSNL, the level at CSNL is the highest that there is in trail running, for sure. It's basically like doing a road race on the mountains, and it's actually my third year doing this race. The first year, I DNF'd, which means did not finish. It was a pretty traumatic race for me. And so last year I decided I wasn't going to let that define me. And I went back and I definitely had a better race, but I still think that there's a lot of room for improvement. And so I'm going back for my third year this year and hoping to do better and improve on what I did last year.
So that's interesting. As I said, I was there for your, you had that incident, it wasn't a DNF, but you were so close to winning.
You can say what it was. I nearly like died.
you did nearly die. Should we maybe quickly tell the story? So Bianca was essentially winning the Otter African Trail Run. And
I think I was coming second.
Oh, were you coming second?
I was close behind,
you were close behind. I don't know who actually won it that year, but we were commentating, and I was commentating on the finish line, and it was like, okay, well, you know, she's so fast, she's the only person on the beach, and there's trackers, and then it was like, okay, she's supposed to be in 10 minutes, what's happening? And then we started to get the feedback that you had indeed collapsed on the beach, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Actually, further than the beach, I got to like I was probably a kilometer or less. It was crazy. I was so close to the end. But yeah, I essentially collapsed from hyperglycemia. Just honestly could not stand anymore. It was terrifying. And I genuinely did think I was going to die. And yeah, I ended up just lying there for, I think it was like an hour and a half. I lay there and I had two drips put in me. Luckily, my coach was there with me and he was definitely reassuring me because it was a very scary experience. But anyway, so I had two drips put in me and then I was able to finish the race with the help of my coach and a friend.
Amazing.
And yeah, that was my first otter. It was pretty crazy.
That is crazy. I'll come back to the second DNF because I want to talk about it, but we might as well, since this is your field, hyperglycemia, she had that incident. Maybe take us into, does that happen? What is it that happened to her there, first and foremost? And how often does that happen to performance athletes? Because sometimes I don't think people realize that they just look like superhumans. But as you've heard, an elite athlete, it happened to them. So what happened to Bianca in that moment? And does it happen more often than not? And what would cause it? Maybe that's interesting.
So quick like science plug. So hyper, yeah. Too much. Think of like hyperactive kids and then hypo, too little. Yeah. So essentially imbalance of kind of like electrolytes and glycemic levels. So B wouldn't have had like the energy. She's the output that she was doing, racing to finish the Arts African Trail Run. There just weren't enough stores available to support the energy output or the demand that she was trying to do. And so I think it is more common in road running where the intensity is high. So you see a lot of that at the Comrades. It's often mistaken for heat stroke. People are like, oh, you know, heat stroke or dehydration. That's kind of, it is different. But anyway, so it's not as common in trail running just because the intensity is not as high usually. Mm-hmm. And I think that just points to the level at which kind of bees racing and competing at and just what you can expect from these trail running events. It's the intensity is right up there. Marathon distance is almost considered a sprint. Mm-hmm. So the energy demand is high and you should be eating to kind of support that. So I think it was just not eating enough and or at the right time leading to the point where she collapsed. And that's basically her body just saying, it's actually a last form of protection. So it's like, we're going to collapse first before anything else happens.
Okay. So it was Bianca's fault that she didn't eat.
No, I mean, it was definitely my fault.
No, you don't have to say it. I will say it. From what I picked up there was Bianca learned to eat. I mean, babies can eat.
She needs to eat. Know. And now I feel like B is somebody who's like, let's go.
I'm overcompensated now. I'm very aware. That was, that was my
weight
first
last time we chatted so that she could eat her smoothie. Like,
well, there you go. Bianca, maybe learn to eat. How about that? Have you thought about learning to eat?
I learned the hard way. Definitely. That was, key takeaway was to eat. That was my first trail marathon. And prior to that, the longest race I'd ever done, I think, was probably 2 hours. And in 2 hours, eating is not as important. I mean, I think it's always important when you're racing, but I learned the hard way that eating in a marathon is NB, and also like making sure you get it in consistently, because I think my issue was I ate and then I stopped eating, and so just levels just dropped, and as Emma has explained, I collapsed to try and protect myself.
Which you did. I mean, involuntarily. I mean, you protected yourself involuntarily. But then you suffered that other DNF, and you know what, I think my point is, it's another thing, especially, you know, you're in your 20s, which is still really young. Your thoughts on recovering from those kinds of things mentally, you know, it does show, because people give up. People give up with much less adversity in life across the board. What made you want to come back? Because twice to have those big DNFs. How have you processed those two events, and what's brought you coming back? Because your performance has only gotten better and better. What have you learned from it, I guess, is what I'd want to ask.
I think I've learned to not let stuff like that define you. And I think it's like after both of those races, I definitely took a period where I really like sat with the feelings and sat with that disappointment. But then just like, honestly, like stopping the thoughts. I think you give yourself a period and then after that, you just like brush it off and you start again and you try again. And I think, like I said, most importantly is to not let races or anything in life define you and paint a new narrative for yourself. And that's what I've tried to do for those two races in particular. And I'd say it's that.
And in terms of mentally, because some obviously you've got the genetic gifts, the physical gifts, and the discipline and all those things, blah, blah, blah. But mentally, you know, there's something that separates people who enjoy anything and people that make it their profession, especially the more difficult things get. Like, from a mental approach, what have you taken on mentally? Who kind of supports you, Bianca? Because, I mean, to do great things, you do need support, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And actually, what I learned my first year in Europe was how big of a part that mental aspect plays in being a professional athlete. I'd say, yeah, from my personal experience and what I've seen in others, I think that the mental part and being mentally strong kind of outweighs the physical when you get to a high level, because I suppose a lot of people have the physical capabilities, and it's that mental strength and resilience that I think gets you to the top level. And so, yeah, for in my first year in Europe, I really struggled with the mental aspect, and I came back and I was really burnt out, and I definitely, like, and yeah, truthfully, I almost wanted to quit running. I was like so unhappy and just so done with it, and it really broke me down.
Before I let you go on, would you be willing to take us into what exactly was it that made you feel this way? Was it pressure? Mm-hmm. Was it whatever it made you?
I think, yeah, it was self-made pressure. Self-doubt. I think I just put on unnecessary expectations. I was just super hard on myself. And yeah, I think really perfection was all I was willing to, what's the word I'm even looking for? If my race didn't go perfectly, I would just like really shoot myself down. And so then I went to Europe. I think I just put all those expectations on me, and then the races didn't go how I had envisioned them to go. And so yeah, I would just like each race, I was just getting like knocked and knocked and knocked. And just feeling like so low self-worth. And so I got back and I just felt, yeah, like I wasn't capable. I wasn't good enough. Just like all of that negative talk that I think so many of us deal with on a daily basis. I suppose we're our own biggest critic. And I think I was really faced with that in that season. And I did nearly let it get to me. And I did nearly let that win, that self-critic in me. But then there was another part that knew that I needed to change something if I wanted to carry on running. And so I ended up getting a psychologist as well as a sports psychologist. And those two people have been incredible in like helping me to reframe the narrative going on in my head. And I think, yeah, it's also like a constant progress. I think you can always improve and self-develop. And so it's a lifelong journey, but I'd say those two people have been very, very big in how I've been able to bounce back and come back into this European scene and try again and try more.
Yeah, because, you know, and thanks for being so open, because often, and I guess even in your studies, right, is that we reduce the person to what we can see.
Yeah.
And and that can be really, really dangerous, because we don't know what's going on in someone's mind, and we just think, oh, you're an elite athlete, all the other stuff's fine. You're like, this is a whole person, and it's fine. They can handle disappointment. You know, they don't feel pressure. Why would they? They are this gifted thing, Em. So I just want to hear Em's thoughts on just being holistic in the scientific approach, not just going, okay, you're eating well, you're in good physical condition. In the studies, some of what Bianca touched on there beautifully, I thought, are you guys delving deeper as just hardcore scientists into that holistic picture as well?
I think sports psychology is one of the most interesting, and I'm going to say emerging field, because I think it gets less attention than it should, but it's definitely the most important aspect, especially, and it's not just as the distances get longer, but as the competition level rises, those small margins often come down to, in terms of physical condition, everybody is talented and can kind of throw down on the day, but it's where your mind's at and have you practiced those kind of things that will get you to the end. So grit, resilience, determination, you have, like in professional athletes, different qualities that if you had to do kind of a survey or a study, you would see them outshine like a regular human by a long shot, but it's still with that, like, what is it? Great power. With great power comes great responsibility.
Spider-Man. That's Spider-Man.
Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, yeah. I mean, I hate those movies, but I hate, what are they called?
Marvel.
Marvel Avengers.
Okay. But that's fine. You like coffee. I can move past that.
Yeah,
it's
okay. Yeah, I love coffee.
But, and so with this kind of rise in the level of competition, it's like you need to be working on that side of things just as much, if not more. I think also because people, it doesn't come naturally to people to share their emotions, to go through, why am I feeling like this? How can I change it? Mm. And let's be honest, that's not the glamorous side of sport.
Sure.
You don't want to be thinking about how you feel. You want to just train it out in that old school mentality of, like, you know, if it's not hurting, you're not doing it right.
Got you.
Yeah, so huge deal. Love that people are working on it. It is important, and research shows us that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you have it. I really love that. I love that because I'm not really, I'll be honest with you, I'm not Mr. Touchy-feely. So I'm the worst kind of person to acknowledge that. But the more we're going through life and the more we're learning about this stuff, it's like, you know, elite athletes, they need us as much as we need them. Obviously, you guys make, I believe the role of elite athletes very much the same as royal families back in the day, as artists do and great people is. They keep human beings aiming up. For me, what you guys do, it's like, I know I'm never going to be as good a runner as Bianca, but I want to see the best of human endeavor, right? I want to see that the best of grit. And obviously, that takes a whole person and it takes a whole team, as you've acknowledged. Thanks for sharing that, dude. Because I don't think I wasn't aware of that. And I really, really appreciate you for being open and honest there. But I'll give you the last word about just your thoughts on, you know, there's young women that will look up to you. There are young men and women, actually. It's not just young women. The young people that are looking up to you, and, you know, sometimes Instagram makes it look easy. Maybe you could tell them, what does it take to not necessarily just get to the top, but to keep endeavoring to get to the top? I'll give you the last word before we let you go.
I'd say just really enjoying the process. I think that's the biggest thing. And definitely, again, what I learned from my first year in Europe is to focus on the process and focus on that joy. And then, let the results be the byproduct of that. Because I think that they naturally will be. I'd say just, I think, keep the perspective as well. I think some people get lost a bit in this world. Just remember to zoom out every now and then. If you feel like you're getting sucked in and things are feeling overwhelming and the race feels really big and important, I think it is really big and important because you care about it a lot. But it's also, it's a race and life is bigger than a race and life carries on. Just keeping that perspective, I think, is really important as well. And then also curiosity, I think. Staying really curious and open-minded and just giving yourself the best chance that you have and giving yourself a chance in general. I think you can achieve a lot more than you think you can if you stay curious.
Appreciate you. You're the best. Ladies and gents, good, not just great athlete, good human, because that matters. To me, that matters. I've told people and I will tell them all the time, I don't associate with anyone who I think is a dickhead. And you know, getting to know Bianca a little bit has been fun because you see in others that which you lack in yourself, and I see so many things I can learn from her. And still in her 20s, by the way, which is insane. I can't imagine having a master's and endeavoring to compete with the world at her age, and just the sort of the humility to truly say I need help. I appreciate that for you. Bianca, enjoy Spain. We'll be in touch. Hey, where can we get you on social media?
My name is Bianca 12 on social media.
Bianca at 12 or Bianca 12?
No, it's Bianca T 12.
Bianca
people
T-12.
Often read it Bianca 12. it's my Instagram. There'll be a lot happening over the next week with the Gama and all the races here in Europe.
There it is.
Bianca, thank you for having me. I love being here.
Love it. Every time. Every time it's an absolute treat. Bianca, look after yourself. Really, really appreciate you.
You too. Enjoy Mart.
Thank you. Thank you. I will. I mean, I'm going to be struggling, drinking cappuccinos while people are running 100 miles. It'll be tough for me too. We all have our challenges. We all have our challenges.
Exactly. It's all relative. Enjoy, guys. I'm sad I'm not there.
Appreciate
Next
you.
Year, hopefully.
Yeah. Appreciate you. You're the best. Hey, Em. She's
the best.
She is the best.
I mean,
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, guys. You're the best, too. We're yeah. the best.
No, take it easy. So Em's going to stay with us.
Bye, you too.
Cool. You're going to stay with us. We'll chop it up a little bit, trail running, chop talk it some up, science. Let's see what else. We're going to take a little break.
Cool.
It's big time programming. So,
wild.
You take a break to kind of give them a break, us a break. You know, conversation just becomes boring if you just talk all the time. So it's not just because we were tired.
Yeah.
It's a proper technique. It's
strategic.
Yeah, there's a technique.
I like it. Within the scientific method.
The media.
Speaking my language.
I don't know about how scientific this show is, but yeah, we're going to take a little break. My name's Nketi, it's Nketi Show. Okay, T-Shop, we have returned. We are back. I don't know where we went. We're no longer where we were. We're now here. I'm with Em Robertson. Did I call you Emma earlier?
Yeah, that's a very common mistake that Emily. People make. Yeah. I think Emily's like less common of a name than Emma. I don't know.
Can I say something with all due respect?
Yeah, usually that means it's going to be not a lot of respect, so I'm keen to hear what comes next.
Quite an old person's name.
It is.
Like, I haven't met an Emily, like, in the 20th century. Or the 21st century, yeah.
Yeah.
More in the 20th century.
It is like a granny's name. You know when your parents name you after somebody? So it's like, it's your grand's name. Named, yeah. Or my great-grand. So it's really an old person's name.
Yeah. But with all due respect, Emily is a very old, like,
that's why Elizabethan. I've always just like, M. So okay, M is that, fun. Emily is like.
Yeah, Emily's like. You're like a maths teacher who's 78. Well, I mean, maths teachers are great, but
yeah,
Emily.
I hear you.
Okay, I was wondering why you went to M, but now it makes more sense. Emily's.
I think I also like all of my favorite people call me M. You know, it's like there's like a familiarity, and
it's
a little bit of old lady name avoidance, but also like M just sounds cool.
Tell you what's not helping, your old lady sweater.
My old lady sweater? I'm actually wearing my grand's shirt. As you're saying this, I'm like, my old lady sweater. I'm like, George is kind of cold. And then everyone's like, oh, did you thrift this? And I'm like, stole it out of my grand's cupboard. So that's actually funny. I'm not usually old lady.
The evidence. I mean, you're wearing your grand's top and your name is Emily.
Yeah, what is it? I'm trying to recycle, you know?
Upcycle. No, upcycle. We said upcycle now. Upcycle. Recycle's old talk. Okay. Like your name. Now we upcycle.
Now we're upcycling.
Reuse, upcycle. Yes. Yeah. All right. Emily. M. Okay, because we're fun. We're fun.
Yeah. I'm not old. I'm going to wear something different tomorrow.
Yeah, we're not eating supper at 5 o'clock and going to bed by 6.
Exactly.
Because
my family's going to laugh because I go to bed the earliest.
Oh, hilarious. Are you just a granny? Like, because we had Rebecca QAnon, she broke her hip at 15.
Yes.
And so she had granny hips. And now you're a granny person. So what is going on here?
Yeah.
Are old people getting, or young people getting old?
This is the trend. Yeah, young people are getting old.
Oh, it's so cool. Like, yeah.
It's like, they may be old.
Oh, I see. Like, I don't even stay out tonight. I'm 20,
that's
whatever.
That's like mainstream. So I'm going to go to bed early and eat my greens and all that stuff. Yeah.
All right, Emily.
I promise I'm more fun than that.
Where do you live?
I live in Stellenbosch.
Stellenbosch, that's mountains.
I have a terrible view of Stellenbosch Mountain. Live on the Jonkershoek Road.
Oh, really?
Someone has to do it.
Well, what is Jonkershoek for people who don't know? You know, there's viewers from around the world.
So Jonkershoek is a nature reserve in Stellenbosch. Mm-hmm. It is, one of the most beautiful, an access point to one of the most beautiful mountain ranges in the world, I think. I would try to live as close to the trail start as humanly possible. There's a couple of people who are beating me, but I'm pretty close. It's like I can run straight to the mountains. It's great.
So you're living the trail running?
Yeah, living it.
Trail culture is the pod. Yeah. For those people who don't know.
Yes.
Now they need to know. Trail culture can be found wherever you get your podcast, social media, blah, blah, blah. Trail culture.
Trail culture, that's it.
Tell me about it. Why did you start it? I've listened to a few episodes and it's a banger.
It's a banger. So funny, you never get used to the sound of your own voice. Don't know if you have, like, Mr. Humble, I'm like, your voice is great. Too humble.
Yes. I couldn't possibly accept your praise there, yeah. Too humble now.
But I think I wanted to bridge the gap between, so I'm super nerdy, if people haven't already picked that up, the science thing, and then I coach like endurance athletes as well, and I could never find a bridge between this like cool trail community and then the scientific world, and like nobody wants to read kind of academic articles that I send them. Don't know why. Like,
so scientists think they are a big reason why I never went on with my studies. Number one, I'm too dumb. I don't like the way scientists look at the rest of us. Like, just read the scientific paper. Like, no, make it consumable. You
exactly. So it's like, let's not be elitist. Let's make it fun.
Yeah.
So then,
because science is fun.
It is, if you break it down. Like, it's not even fun. Sometimes when I read stuff, I'm like, ugh, this is like, I mean, cool findings, but dude, like your write-up, wow, it's boring.
You. Yeah.
And so I think that was like the one thing. I was like, how can I bridge the gap? Two, I really like talking, so I was like, cool. And three, I got injured, actually. And great things come out of injury. If once you stop feeling sorry for yourself, you know, there's a mandatory phase of self-pity. So I ran MUT last year, but that's not what injured me. It was my first marathon and was feeling all hunky-dory. And then I actually worked at an event in Tanzania straight afterwards, a 5-day trail race around Kilimanjaro.
Wow.
Super stoked to be there. The guy who was supposed to mark all their trails got COVID. Shame, his first time out from the UK to Tanzania. It's hot. He has COVID. He's lying in a tent. He's
COVID
like dying.
COVID in 2023.
I know. I was also like, bro.
Like, bro, that is that's Emily vibes. Yeah. Like, COVID is so Emily. So, it's so 1986.
Exactly.
Bro.
It's old, man.
Who's getting COVID in 2023, dude?
And I felt for him. He's like lying in his tent. He can't do anything. And then basically one of the race directors came to me and they were like, so our front, like our route marker is sick. It's like, so hey, I hear you can run. And I was like, oh no. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, it was like an 18-hour journey. It was like a short-ish flight and then like a super long bus ride to where we needed to be. I'm stiff from MUT. Anyone who's ever had DOMS. I got off the bus like an old lady.
What's DOMS, channeling. By the way? Some people don't.
So that's delayed onset of muscle soreness. Guys, that pain that you feel going down the stairs after you run, that's what that is.
Yes.
So, and sitting for a long time in a bus, and then, long story short, I couldn't say no. Will people please? And also, it's Kilimanjaro.
Someone's and you're a like, nerd, as you said. Nerds like to please people.
Yeah. And it's like, you get to run trails that are not open to the public, like, ever, and market, and it's, I was stoked, and I was all like, you have also post-race, like, fitness gains. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm bulletproof. Yeah. Long story short, don't run your first marathon and then run like 70 Ks of trail less than 3 days later. That's not a good idea.
I'm not a scientist. Solid advice.
So, yeah. And then ITB, that's what I developed. That's like a classic iliotibial band syndrome. That's this bad boy that runs alongside from your knee to your hip.
Uh-huh.
It's a bit of a, like a, I don't want to say a rookie injury. I feel like I'm going to offend some people, but it's an overuse injury. So it's kind of like, you know, if it hurts, don't use it.
Yeah.
And I felt it was sore after MUT, but I kind of chalked it down to the fact that I'd run a marathon and, you know, I was just stiff. And then I basically just ran myself into a brutal 8-month, like, rehab pain process, which kind of sucks. But the good thing was I had a lot of time. And I was like, how often do you actually get to take a dream off the shelf? You know, you have a shelf with all your stuff. Oh, I'll do this one day, I'll do that.
I do. I'll find a wife. I'll find a girlfriend.
Great. I'm excited.
I have a wife and a girlfriend. You probably heard that as separate. No, I'm going to have a wife and a girlfriend at the same time.
Okay.
And they don't need to know each other.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to be there if they ever.
Actually. Whatever. If they know each other, cool. If they don't,
we'll see.
Needs no.
Yeah.
You know, needs must or whatever they say, you know. Anyway, it's not about me. You had time. Your dreams are on the shelf.
Had time. And then I was like, let me take a dream off the shelf. But it's really scary. It's like, I'm going to give it a name, put myself out there and just do it.
Yeah.
Nike, you know, and here we are. I'm like 7 months in.
I've met
amazing people. Oh, and the whole thing with trail culture was like, I think sometimes doing something new or starting a new sport or anything new experience, there's always or quite often an established community and you feel like, am I going to find a place? You know, is there space for me here? And it's nerve wracking. And I think something I love about the trail community is there's space for everyone.
Yeah.
There's no classic look. There's no, like, nothing disqualifies you from wanting to be a trail runner, 100%. Really. It's like you can literally just be keen. And then people are like, bro, let's go run and drink a beer, you know? And I love that. So I was like, I want to celebrate that. trail culture, it's community. It's a cool culture built around like a common love for trail running.
Yeah.
So that's where it came from, and the guests have been great. People are interesting. Yeah.
YouTube, get it wherever you like.
Yes, funny. I'm getting into the YouTube thing, so maybe I am a granny. Well, I like struggled to so self-taught everything. I just like started, and I'm still like small things like DaVinci Resolve and like learning to like put good intros and outros and fade the music and whatever. Yes. So I've got a bit of a backlog of YouTube videos, but there are two successful ones out there: Matt Bouch and Bianca Tarbatin.
Yep.
Very cool athletes. So yeah, getting there, but it's everywhere. I mean, you'll find it.
You'll find it. Trail culture, as it said.
As it is.
Phonetic.
Yeah.
Culture. If you can't spell culture, you probably shouldn't be.
Yeah. I'm like, are you South African?
Yeah. Or are you, what are you, a baby?
Yeah.
You know, everyone can spell trail and culture,
yep.
I think. Yep. Find a way. We'll put it in the description anyway. Like we'll put it there. One thing I wanted to talk about, obviously, tell us quickly, what exactly have you studied up to this point? I know you're doing your PhD, but you have a master's in?
In sports science. Yep. So I did sports science undergrad and then went into performance sport, high performance sport as an honors, focusing, yeah, I mean, the name says it all. I was interested in like elite performance. So did an honors in that, then pursued master's still in sports science, but biomechanics. So that's human movement. And I looked specifically at the effect of fatigue on trail running form, like the difference between elites and recreational athletes. Because Ryan Sands finishes 100 miles looking like he did the park run. And people who are recreational, who are fit enough to run 100 miles, but finish looking, you know, like me, ragged. As Granny Emily getting out of bed in the morning. So I was like, fitness is not your issue. There must be something else. So that's what I looked into. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's form related. And then I took a little hiatus, as one does. Research tends to traumatize you. So masters, and also masters in COVID. I was like, oh my gosh.
Goodness. At least you didn't have COVID in 2023 like that English guy. Oh
yeah, that's embarrassing. So took a break, and I wanted, I think with any research or thing like study, you really should be stoked about your question, because that's what will keep you going when you really don't want to do your research. And for PhD, I just didn't have a topic. There was nothing that I was like, I really want to answer this question. I think I had that with masters, and then in the last year or so, like women in sport, female performance, seeing the kind of change and shift in dynamic in the trail running world, and then having like questions just as a coach, and then being like, oh, wait, I'm trying to research this and there's just no information out there. Or it's all just kind of based on what's been done on men.
Yeah.
So, like, women are, there's a kind of famous researcher, Stacey Timms or Tracy Sims?
No, I'm confusing myself. She's not on the podcast.
Anyway, she's not on the podcast. But she had this, like, famous thing from a TED talk where she was like, we need to stop treating women as if they're small men. From a physiological point
understood,
of view, we're
understood.
Just different. Physiology is different. Yes. So yeah,
that's you can have babies.
Yeah,
I
and
can't.
Like we literally have like different. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Hormones, all sorts of things. But and then we're going to be like, yeah, you can train and eat and do everything just like a guy. Which is not. Yeah, I'm like, let's be a bit more specific. It is 2024.
Yeah,
but we can do this.
And also, look, sometimes it's been viewed as an uncomfortable conversation. And so let me just give you my position. So I'm sports crazy. I don't know anything else but like football, trail running, and for me, part of my conversation that I've had to have with myself over the years is like, you know, I want to be completely honest. Like I watch male sport. I do. For me, that's the pinnacle. And I used to see female sport as a threat somehow to, even if let's say I don't want to watch it, like I'd feel, you know, and that's all narrative. It could be so many things. What do I know? But you, as a scientist in that space, it's quite interesting to have a woman speak into that, because sometimes I get uncomfortable more and more when I hear men speaking on behalf of women in certain spaces. I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm not the PC guy. I'm definitely, you know, I'm a typical jock guy. So I'm not the person who's going to speak for women. So I just stay out of the conversation, let people who are But for you as a woman, educated, you're in the space, you know athletes, you know performance, you know all of this, you know, sort of what has the narrative been in sort of trail running? Because we know at the MUT that organically women outnumber men. So something's going on there. We could probably do the research. But for you as a woman, some of the challenges of women entering sport, women, and then retaining young girls to produce the next Courtney Dalwater, the next Bianca Tarbatton, is that a challenge from the research you've seen? And then also, how do we treat the female space now, and maybe how could we have smarter conversations as we go forward?
Very good questions. I think kind of the space as it was and kind of where it's come from in the last few years, it was just around not having kind of fair and equal opportunity for female athletes. And I think so much of that was just because it was new. I'm not one of these people who's like, oh no, the guys did it all wrong and this and that. I think it was purely like an education thing across the board.
Yeah.
So for example, there was a big thing at a stage with, you know, the screen time at big races for men and women. You know, the coverage for the top three men would be, it would be 80% that, and then every now and again they would be like, oh yeah, and then there's this woman doing kind of first, and okay, cool, whatever. Yes, like there's back to the guys,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah, like back to the real race.
Yeah, back to the real race.
Yes,
and
I know
then
what you mean.
Basically, someone like Courtney DeWalter blew that out the water, where she's been running herself into the real race and onto the overall podium, or previously known as the men's podium.
Yeah.
So you're seeing this increase in performance, and which is like directly linked to, as women have had more and more opportunity, so better like equal sponsorship deals. I mean, this is an expensive sport, things like that. So better opportunity, an open narrative, people starting to talk, creating space. Some women unfortunately had to just kind of struggle their way, I would say, like into the space, and then and not just perform at like a great level, they had to be exceptional kind of create room for themselves. And I think the cool thing was for me in the trail space is it's been very responsive to it. I don't really think there's, maybe there has in some ways, but there's not this kickback of like, wait, stay in your lane. It's like, oh, flip, let's be better. Let's have equal coverage. The Golden Trail Series is put the men's and women's races on separate days so that there can be exact equal media coverage and like the same amount of support for both events.
Yeah.
You know, and then people will shoot them down and be like, oh, it's unfair, it's different days, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of kind of problem solving that's going on, and I love to see that. I'm like, there's an effort to make a change, so let's try and be supportive and give it a chance, and then you can always improve later. So I think, and other things that have come into effect recently, so UTMB's brought in kind of a clause now, for especially for the elite athletes, that if you're pregnant, you can, instead of your running stones or index kind of staying the same for two years, that time is extended for you, so that you can make a return to the sport on a fair level. So it's just, it's about like, not necessarily leveling the playing ground. We needed to be playing the same sport. I think for a while it was like the guys are doing this and the women were not even on the same playing field for a long time.
Sure.
So just being more aware of certain kind of limitations or situations that could affect female performance. Like if you're a professional female athlete and you get pregnant and you want to have a family, you know, and your husband is also a professional athlete, the effect that that has on his body.
Yeah. His life.
Yeah, so I mean, it affects his life when the kids don't sleep and they have to get up. But it is remarkably different to the female athlete, you know, the counterpart. And it's how are we making accommodation for that? So
yeah.
And for me, that's just fair, you know.
I didn't even know about the UTMB thing, to be completely honest. I think I don't want to be, because I'm very reticent to be politically correct. I'm not a PC person, but I just think that's a smart conversation to start, like, hey, what should we do about pregnancy?
Yes.
Yeah, like that person's not dead now. They are having a baby, and they will still be an absolute smashing athlete in 18 months' time. What do we do about that? How do? And it's, I can't give birth.
Yeah.
So to look at the world through my eyes, is, I don't know if that's smart.
I hear you.
Because I'm all for, here's how I look at conversations going forward, but I don't know if I'm right. Here's just how I live my life, is I don't think equal means the same. Sometimes people think, so I do often ask people, when you say equal, do you mean the same? Because I don't view those things the same.
Yeah.
Equal opportunities doesn't mean I want to be treated the same, because I don't treat my sister how I treat my best mate, who's a man.
Yeah.
Like I have conduct in and around romantic partners and women.
Yeah.
Just because they are, for me, I always take it down to, they can do the magic trick where they can house life.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna I'm gonna treat you differently.
Yeah.
Whatever. However you view that, I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm not better than anyone. I'm just telling you, I treat women differently than I treat men.
Yeah.
Within that space, you know. Now, if we're gonna fight over, say, a chocolate slab, we would have a different conversation because I love chocolate.
Yeah.
Obviously, high quality.
If I'm gonna steal your cappuccino in the morning,
no. Then as a woman, I would be as aggressive.
Yeah.
As my, you know, listen, for a chocolate, if my, or a coffee, if my own mother was fighting for the last cup of coffee on earth, I would push my mother away.
Yeah.
I didn't say I was perfect. I didn't say I was perfect. But we do need to have smarter. I think the next drive around these things, and I would like to hear your opinion, is let's just have smarter conversations. Because like your PhD, I was told by someone who I admire, the questions we ask determine the answers we'll get. And if you ask the same questions for men as you do for women, you limit yourself to a certain set of outcomes. And I think we have to be honest about that.
Yeah.
And I have to be honest. By the way, I'm not better than any man out there. I'm not professing. I was the type of guy who goes, well, no, as a man, you wouldn't do that for me. And that's the end of it. You know, so I'm not better than anyone out there who may agree or disagree, whatever. It's society. So I just think I'm becoming a better listener of, okay, what questions start interesting conversations? Yeah. The outcomes we'll deal with when we get there. So I don't know if you feel like that's happening quickly enough as a, I mean, you're a female scientist, you know, you maybe don't identify that way. You know why that excites me? On top of everything, I don't want my sister's her own thing, but I don't want my nieces and nephews having just Kim Kardashian as their hero.
I hear you.
You know, like, I love when young people get exposed to scientists and doctors and, I'm a girl. I
could do that.
Yeah, not just paint my nails. I could be Bianca Tarbatton running up mountains.
Yeah.
And be a scientist.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Be a doctor, be a nurse, whatever. You know, so I like different heroes, which is interesting. For me, you're a female scientist who's participating, who's also working with elite athletes. So when you talk to female athletes, you don't have to say who. Is their psychology different from male athletes? And like, what is it that you've picked up?
It is totally different. I think just to kind of scale back to...
By the way.
Huge. Mm. And one of the things with, you know, what questions are we asking? It's also who's asking the questions. So do women have a seat at the table? Mm-hmm. So whatever board or committee or situation you've got running a race like this, if you don't have female input, you can be the most PC or accommodating man out there.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it. So small things like one of the female athletes I chatted to a while ago, she was top elite. She's in a race and she had to withdraw midway through because she started her period and there was no bathroom on the whole like 50K stretch. So she basically couldn't deal with the situation. And I don't think the male race director set out to be like, I'm not going to put bathrooms on the...
No, he didn't.
He just, that's not a barrier
or a lived experience.
He's like, I don't have to think about why that would be the difference between me finishing the race or not. So I think seat at the table is important. Then, because then if you don't have the right questions, a woman will just be like, these are the things we need to think about. And in terms of kind of what's going on in the space and the psychology, it is different. I think, for example, South African context, being able to train alone is not a luxury that a lot of female athletes have. So specifically trails, it's remote.
Yeah.
You know, something like George, you will find if you take any female athlete's phone, like emergency contacts, like it's just the measures you have to put in place are so much more. I think more and more for guys as well, they do have to think about the safety concerns, but less so. So things like that, having a family, if you're a professional athlete, you know, the effect of having kids, timing it, you know, is important. Guys, less so. So I think the psychology is different. And what we see with women is they don't race as aggressively as men do. They usually, men kind of, the trends, and we can find lots of data to back this up, is they go out hard and they race one another very aggressively, where women will often have a more conservative start, and then like as they warm up and they've kind of checked everything out, they'll be like, okay, I can dive into this now, you know, now I can race. And I think just seeing people race bravely is important for me. Like someone like Bianca coming back after a DNF, you know, two DNFs.
Nearly dying.
She's fine. And owning it. Like she's really good at what she does. And I'm like, let's I'm like, own it, girl. Like, you're next level. All the women, I'm like, who run themselves onto the overall podium. I'm like, if you were a guy, you would be bragging about this, you know? So I'm like, you do it, because your niece or your cousins or whatever want to have people who they can look up to and who kind of take up that space and are stoked to do that.
Yeah,
and feel comfortable.
That's so interesting. Well, I'd never, you know, some of these things you bring up, I don't have to think about as a man. As like the big one is, you know, for running for me is truly freedom. It's the freest I feel. Like, okay, I can go any direction I want, when I want. I don't have to go with anyone. Nobody can tell me when to come back. Nobody can tell me when to leave.
Yeah.
Nobody can stop me. Nobody's got, you know, for me, it's the truest expression of freedom. Like people sometimes, because I mean, I'm very slow now because I'm old, but people often ask me about my obsession, right? And forget the training and the health. For me, it's the freest I've ever been. Like running makes me free.
Yeah.
So I do it. But it's a whole nother level. I don't really think about, oh, what if something happens to me? Like,
yeah. You
know, I'm a standard height guy, but I'm a guy with, like, I can, or the world perceives me in a way where not worth the risk versus a woman, as you say. So that's not even something I've thought about. But we're gonna chat about more. I don't wanna chew all the fat, you know, on the first day.
There's lots to chat about.
Because you hear what, another 3-4 days with us? I don't even know.
You guys
know
are
you
stuck with me. Yeah.
So we'll save that. Trail culture. We're in Mutt. There are more female participants. I believe the split is, it's 55. Listen, I've heard contrasting reports. It's either 56-44 or 55.
Okay.
45.
Cool.
What
last
have you
time
heard?
I heard women female participation was at 47%. So I'm like, no, this is cool.
This year there's more women.
Now there's more.
There's
like,
more
let's
women
go
than men this year. You better believe it. Hashtag SheMut.
Yes.
And that's what we're going with this week. And let's not make it a box ticking exercise. Like, we're a part of it. We're going to talk about it. By the way, M's not saying this. I'll say it. Like, if you don't want to have the conversation, fine. Don't listen. Go somewhere else. Like, we're having the conversation. We're celebrating human endeavor. You know, this is the focus for this race. For me, if you don't have to watch the show, by the way. I'm saying we're going to have the conversation, and I'm not doing it as a box ticking exercise, because some of these people are my friends and I love some of the things that sports men and women can teach us. So we're having it. It's SheMut. It's the Mutt. It's brought to you by UTMB. The MKT show has partnered. We will be here all week. Em will be with us all week. Short for Emily, which is a granny's name. Yesterday we had an incredible Rebecca Kuhner, granny hip. So let's see tomorrow. Tomorrow, I forget, is it tomorrow or Thursday? I can't remember. But one of my heroes, Robin Owen. By the way, you got to hear about this woman. She is, I'll tell you a quick story. A friend of mine, Bryony McCormick, and I were sitting in Cape Town. And the vibes are immaculate, obviously. Having a coffee. And out of nowhere, we both said this woman's name. For about an hour 45, we started going on about Robin Owen. And I realized, oh, is this what people mean when they say fangirl? Because I was going on about, oh my goodness, when she did this, and when she did that. And when, so Robin Owen, and people say I'm humble, obviously, so I know what humble looks like. You're truly going to meet somebody who is one of the greatest athletes to ever live, right? And I don't just mean ever. I argued for her as the toughest female athlete in the world a couple of years ago when she was still doing her thing. Also got a master's. No big deal. Mechanical engineering. No, it's not a big deal. She's also a mechanical engineer, a world-class mechanical engineer, doing some incredible work where she lives now. She's a mother now. I'm just going to take some time off. Probably world-class at that as well. She's one of my favorite humans. So she'll be part of the conversation. Ryan Sands is coming up later this week. But Robin Owen, one of my heroes, will continue. Emma will be with us all week. Are you going to wear another granny jersey?
I promise you I won't.
Do you have another granny jersey? Yeah.
I mean, it's my whole wardrobe.
Really?
So I'm going to go buy something different, you know. No jokes. I am who I am.
Is it?
We love the grannies.
So, but do you have like, are you like granny clothes? Because it's quite quirky with the glasses as well. Like, I see what you're doing. I do see.
I thought I was cool.
No. It is cool. But it's very Cape Town.
Yes.
Like you're very like,
oh,
I'm different. Like your glasses with the, I see that champagne frame. It's like, yeah, please don't.
I've got Harry Potter glasses as well.
Oh, hysterical.
So you mean, are that's quite nerdy.
No, but you are quite like, I'm a nerd, but there's something to work with here.
I like, shout out to my sister for dressing me, you know. She's like, this is a crisis, let me
No, because I see the jeans and you got the kicks and it's like, these are classic shoes. You're not going to get these.
At least I'm not wearing my K-Way puffer jacket.
No. Yeah. K-Way is not something we wear.
Okay.
No, we don't do K-Way. Yeah. K-Way is, that's re-coffee. If you're going to get winter clothing, let's do it properly.
Yeah.
No, K-Way, if you ever wear K-Way, do not come on the show. And you and I, obviously we're at... I wouldn't say we're friends yet. We're developing it. It's burgeoning. We're accomplices.
Yes.
But who are planting the seed.
Nice.
To, hey, who knows where it goes. You know what I mean? So, with us the rest of the week.
Great.
Trail Culture. Check her out, wherever you may be. Em will be with us second hour of the MKT show every single day until, you know, Friday, I think. And then the race starts and then we're doing our thing. Shimut, UTMB, it is the mutt. We're in George, the MKT show.